Some of you may have read my son's account, The Third Parent, about what happened regarding the monster Tommy Taffy. After reading it, after crying over it, I felt compelled to write this. I'm not here to defend my actions. I'm not here to make excuses. I did what I had to do so that my family would survive. I knew what Tommy was capable of. I knew what we had to do to endure. But I also knew that if we can make it 5 years without pissing off Tommy Taffy, we come out of this nightmare alive. How did I know that? Because I already had lived it. I already had been exposed to what that thing was capable of. I had seen Tommy's temper. I had seen what pushed his buttons. I had already done my 5 years. Like I said, I'm not here to defend myself. What happened to my family is unspeakable, but we are alive. No, instead, I'm writing this so you can understand why I did what I did. Why I chose to let Tommy do what he did to my wife and children. After you hear my side, after you read what I went through, then you can judge me. God knows I deserve it. Tommy first arrived on my street when I was 7. I was only a child and lived with both my parents in a middle-class neighborhood. It was a mellow slice of the American dream, like a cut of apple pie under a smothering lather of vanilla ice cream. Our street was in a secluded residential neighborhood in the far corner of our sprawling development. There were 6 houses in total, and we were a tight-knit bunch. Both the parents and children, in the summers we have the cookouts, and in the winter we have Christmas parties. It was almost like our block was one big family. Everyone looked out for one another. Everyone was generous and considerate. It was a different time when people trusted one another. But our picture-perfect life shattered when he arrived. July 1969. I had just gone to bed, my 7-year-old mind exploring my imagination, turning thought into dream. The moon was a warm slice of yellow in my window, an expanse of stars winking down at me as I drifted off to sleep. I could hear the TV on in the living room, a comforting reminder that my parents were still awake and the monsters under my bed would stay away tonight. That's when I bolted awake by a knock at the front door downstairs. It was such a sharp contrast to the comforting murmur of the TV that was my mind went on full alert as the noise echoed into the house. I sat up in bed, irritated, clutching Growls, my teddy bear. I heard the heavy footsteps of my father walk to the door, probably expecting a neighbor. The familiar creak of the front door was followed by a muted murmur of conversation. I could hear my father's voice speaking, interrupted on occasion by another male voice I didn't recognize. My mother joined the conversation, and I could hear my father getting angry. Minutes stretched on as the mysterious late-night visitor continued to talk with my parents. I slid out of bed and went to my bedroom door, peeking my head out to listen. I still couldn't make out the words, but I could tell my father was getting furious. He started yelling, and I heard him demand that the visitor leave our house, or he was calling the police. It got very quiet then, so quiet I could hear my heart beating in my chest. Then I heard my mother begin to cry. It was soft, so soft, but it scared me. The nighttime visitor was saying something to my parents, his voice low, and my mother continued to sob. After a moment, my father said something I couldn't make out. Immediately following, I heard something slam into the wall downstairs, so hard the pictures in the hallway crashed to the floor. I slapped the hand over my mouth to stifle a scream, heart racing. What was going on? My mother let out a pitiful noise, and I could hear her pleading with someone. There was a scramble of feet, and then another loud bang against the wall. The intruder was saying something to my parents, his voice oozing with authority. I strained to make out the words, but it came to me in a jumble of soft noise. After another couple of minutes of agonizing fear, I heard my father call down for me. My heart was a wild drum beat in my chest, and I bit my lip, hand shaking. Why did he want me? What was happening? My father called again, his voice trembling slightly. Slowly, I pulled the door to my bedroom open and walked to the edge of the stairs. I realized I was clutching Growls, my teddy bear. My palms were sweaty and I could feel its soft fur growing damp. I looked down the stairs to the front door and I froze, eyes going wide. My father was gripping his throat, wincing tears in his eyes, something I had never seen before. My mother had her arms wrapped around herself, moisture straining her cheeks. But that wasn't what captured my attention. It was a stranger standing next to my parents, staring up at me. He was in his early 30s and wore a white t-shirt that read in the front, "Hi." His hair was blonde and cut short, his two blue pool of eyes glowing brilliant set in a sea of snow. And then I noticed the oddities of this intruder. His skin was impossibly smooth, a clean pink sheen of absolute perfection. His nose wasn't so much a nose as it was a nub jutting out of his face. His lips were twisted in a smile, revealing white stripes where his teeth should have been. "Hi, Spence," he called up to me, his voice cheerful. "I'm Tommy Taffy. I'm going to be staying with you for a while." I clutched Growls to my chest, quivering, begging my parents for guidance. Instead, they cast their eyes to the floor, clearly shaken. I didn't know what was happening, what had been said between them, but I could feel danger in the air, thick and malicious. "Come on down here so I can get a good look at you," Tommy said, waving me forward. My father's eyes suddenly met mine, and I gulped. Even at that age, I could interpret the look he passed on to me. "Be careful, son." Cautiously, I walked down the stairs, never letting go of my bear. When I reached the foot of the stairs, my mother reached out for me, but Tommy stepped in front of her, smiling down at me. He squatted down and ruffled my hair, his immaculate skin looking almost polished and waxed at this proximity. "Cute little fellow, aren't you?" "Oh, who's that you got there?" he asked, gesturing to my bear. His name is Grouse," I stammered. Tommy grinned. "Of course he is. I'm going to help your parents for a while, so I'd like the three of us to be friends. Me, you, and Grouse. You think that'd be okay?" Again, I looked at my parents for help, confused and shaken. I had no idea what was going on, who this was, why my parents looked so scared. He seemed nice enough, but the way my father rubbed his throat told me otherwise. "Bop, bop," Tommy chuckled, knocking gently on my head. "Hey, I asked you a question, Spence." "What did you do to my daddy?" I whispered, immediately wishing I hadn't. Tommy's mouth remained a frozen smile, but his eyes darkened ever so slightly. "He." My father reached out and grasped my shoulders. "Spence, son, it's okay. I'll talk to you later about it. For now, Tommy is going to... He shot a look at my mother. He's going to stay with us." And that was the start of a 5-year stretch I can never forget. A few days passed, and I soon learned through whisper inquiries that Tommy Taffy had visited everyone on our street. He was in our home, but also in theirs. I learned this from my eventual wife, Megan, who lived across the street from me. She told me that some strange guy was living in their house. After she described him, I deducted it was the same, Tommy Taffy. I didn't understand how it was possible, but knew to keep my mouth shut. Tommy had sworn to me secrecy. He swore everyone to secrecy. This was enforced by my parents, who told me in hushed whispers to never let anyone know about Tommy. I could tell everyone feared him. I did too. There was something unsettling about his constant smile, his slightly off features, and the cool, enunciated way he spoke and laughed. I didn't know what he had told my parents to keep them from going to the police, why they were allowing him to live in our home, but it must have been terrible. We were a hostage in our own home. Of course, Tommy didn't keep us there, but we knew he would be waiting for us once we came back. At night, Tommy would sit us down and give us life lessons. He would tell us how to be good people, how to love one another. I remember one time during the first week, I looked At my front window across the street into Megan's living room, I saw Tommy there speaking to her family on the couch. The Tommy in front of my family stopped speaking immediately and stared long and hard at me. He then went on to the window and closed the curtains before continuing. During the evenings, as the fathers on our street came home from work, I see them meet briefly in the road, muttering to each other and casting looks over their shoulders. There was a mutual terror shared between them, an unspoken knowledge that they had to keep Tommy's secret. That getting the police involved would only lead to, well, nothing good. I imagine upon arrival that Tommy threatened our family and then showed some sign of physical dominance over the men. I remember the banging against the wall and the way my father had gripped his throat. But what in the hell had he said to them? Why did they allow him to infest our homes? Well, a month later I found out. They were plotting against Tommy. They were going to kill him. August 1969. Again, I was awakened from slumber. I looked at my Spider-Man clock and saw it was after midnight. I scrubbed sleep from my eyes, grasping in the dark for growls. As I found my bear, I heard banging from downstairs along with several voices. I slipped out of bed and went to my door. The lights downstairs were off, but I saw beams of light cutting through the black flashlights. I called out for my parents, but saw their bedroom door was wide open. I knew they weren't in bed then. More voices from downstairs followed, along with scraping across the hardwood floors. I jumped as a bang shook the night and then voices faded. There's people going into our basement, I thought, frightened. Our basement was unfinished, an expanse of empty cement. Why are they going into the basement, I thought. Silently assuming my parents were down there, I crept to the first floor, clutching growls to my chest. Sure enough, the basement door was open and I saw light reflecting off the dusty floor. I could hear my father's voice and then the familiar voices of our neighbors. They were speaking to someone. They were angry. My heart froze in my chest as someone laughed from the depths of the cellar. Hee 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 hee. Making sure to not make a sound, I slunk to the open door and descended the first two steps to look out at the scene below me. Tommy was bound to a metal chair in the middle of the room, surrounded by the six pairs of parents that lived in our neighborhood. Their backs were to me, but I could see Tommy's flawless face gazing up at them. Megan's father was there. His face was a mess of bruises and swollen flesh. His arm was in a sling, and it looked like his shoulders slumped like his back was in pain. I sucked in a deep breath as I realized one of the men was passing my father a pistol. The women stood by their husbands with grim looks on their faces. There was no disagreement amongst the executioners. "It's time for you to leave our lives," one of the men said, looming over Tommy. I recognized him as my friend Luke's father. They lived two houses down. "This is your last chance," he growled. Tommy didn't even struggle in his rope bindings, that ever-present smile still on his face. He looked up at them, the overhead light illuminating his sparkling blue eyes. "I don't understand. I'm just trying to help all of you raise your children properly. I'm not going anywhere." I looked past between the parents, and then my father put the gun to Tommy's head. "You're not helping anyone. You're a monster. You can't come into our homes and threaten our children, threaten our lives. That's not how this works. All of those threats you whispered to us while we were caught off guard. Well, look at you now," my father spat on him. "Pathetic. And now you're getting yours." My father shot him in the head. The report was deafening, and I almost screamed, slamming my hand over my mouth. At the last second, Tommy's head whipped back as the smell of gun smoke spiked in the air. It was silent for a moment, and then... hee 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 hee. In horror, I watched as Tommy slowly raised his head to stare back at my father. "What the hell?" One of the women breathed, her voice shaking. There was no blood, no shatter of bone, nothing. Just dark circle in Tommy's forehead where the bullet had passed. "What the fuck are you?" someone whispered. Tommy's eyes spun to the man who had spoken. "I'm Tommy Taffy, and I'm not going anywhere." My mother suddenly pointed to the corner of the room, her hand trembling. "Gas! Gas! Get the gas!" Megan's mother went to the far corner of the room and picked up a small red can. I could hear the sloosh of gasoline and it smelted in the air. My father grabbed the can from her hand his eyes wide and never leaving Tommy. Without a word, his appended over the bound man soaking him, Tommy kept smiling. Hee. Another father passed my dad a box of matches. My father struck one in his hand, hovering in the air. Go back to hell. Leave us alone. Tommy grinned wider. Hell is going to seem like a fantasy when I come back for you. My father dropped the match and Tommy burst into flames. He didn't scream. He didn't thrash. He just simply burned. As his face began to melt, his eyes shifted and suddenly he saw me. Heart exploding in my throat, I fled back to my room, tears streaming down my face from the safety of my bed. I eventually heard the neighbors leaving, relief in their voices. 2 weeks later, Tommy came back. September 1969. We were eating supper, a sense of normalcy returning to our home. My parents never told me they had murdered Tommy, instead opting to inform me that his visit was over and he went back home. I still caught whiffs of gasoline about our house, but kept my mouth shut. I was just happy my family was okay. The sun was setting and the dying orange light filtered in through the living room window, stretching out across the floor to cover the dinner table. My mother and father sat at opposite ends of the table, chatting about their days. I could tell they were still shaken, but I admired the way they were trying to return to their lives, to what it had been before Tommy showed up. As I shoveled mashed potatoes into my mouth, the front door exploded open. I spun around, jumping as the wood splintered and the hinges creaked. I dropped my fork, eyes growing wide. It was Tommy, and he looked furious. My parents' mouths dropped in unison. Before they could speak, Tommy marched towards us with alarming speed and appended the kitchen table. Dishes filled with food shattered to the floor, and my father half rose, fear paralyzing him. Without a word, Tommy grabbed my father by the neck and dragged him to the wall where he had plowed his face through the sheetrock. My mother screamed and ran to my aid, my dad, but Tommy spun on her and punched her in the teeth, sending her crashing to the floor. Feeling my bladder go, panic clawing at my throat, I watched as Tommy pulled my father's bloody head from the wall. Sputtered, dazed, my father tried to release himself from Tommy's iron grip, but it was no good. His eyes dark and his mouth clamped in a snarl. Tommy clamped a hand over my father's throat and dragged him into the living room. Without stopping, he threw him through the window and out into the front yard. I was a mess of tears and terror, snot bubbling from my nose as Tommy turned back to my mother and I. Now he was smiling. He went to my stunned mother and hauled her up. "You're going to need to see this," he said darkly. His eyes lip curled in a grin. He looked at me and jerked his head towards the door. "Come on, Spence. You too." He pulled my mother to the front door and pushed her aside. I had it move, my face frozen in a silent scream. Tommy looked over his shoulder and winked at me. "Don't make me ask again, sport. Oh, and bring that broom behind you." Pulled off my chair by fear, I got up and dutifully grabbed the kitchen broom and walked it to Tommy. My pants reeking of urine, Tommy put a hand on my shoulder and guided me outside to stand by our mailbox. I saw my father rolling in the grass, a mess of blood and glass. My mother kneeling before him, weeping. Our neighbors were coming out of their houses, eyes wide, shocked looks of horror on their faces as they saw Tommy. "Gather round," he yelled, motioning for them to come closer. "Look at what you've done." I saw Megan at her doorstep across the street, face pale, a sheet of snow. She looked at me and I saw her begin to cry, burying her face inside her hands. Shocked into obedience, our neighbors came and stood around our tiny front lawn by the street, all eyes on my father and mother. "This is your fault," Tommy said, meeting every one of their terrified faces. He suddenly snatched the broom from my hand and in one quick motion, he snapped the head off, tossed the duster aside and advanced on my father, gripping the splintered pole. My mother screamed and covered her bleeding husband with her body, but Tommy booted her in the face, wrenching my heart in the process. "Up you go," Tommy growled, pulling my father up by the hair and onto his knees. Glass shooting from his face, my father looked at Tommy, agony burning in his eyes. "Don't worry, I'll take good care of your son, Tommy whispered. He raised the broken broom over his head like a spear and slammed it into my father's mouth, down his throat, into... It erupted from his stomach and plunged into the earth. Blood shot like a geyser out of my father and splattered Tommy's perfect features. My mother howled, her bloodshot eyes rattling in their sockets as my father gasped and then died. His lips wrapping around the broom handle, drooling from his mouth. The neighbors watching were paralyzed, a few of the women crying out at the sudden display of brutal violence. The men's faces were pale and shocked into silence. Megan's father began leaning over and emptying his stomach onto the road. Blood dripping from his face, Tommy turned to face them, eyes alight. I want you to think about this moment the next time you want to have a bonfire. Do I make myself crystal clear? All eyes were trained to the impaled figure of my father, pinned to the earth. I said, do I make myself clear? Tommy repeated, the smile dropping from his face. Everyone slowly nodded, every eye wet with tears and wide with horror. Tommy threw a thumb over his shoulder. Now, get rid of him. I need to put his son to bed. I took a step back, tears flowing freely from my eyes, shaken to the core, unable to stop staring at my dad. My world swam and rocked, my vision a streaking blur of color. I felt like I was going to throw up, pass out, scream, until I couldn't breathe anymore. Tommy was suddenly looming over me, sweeping me in his arms. He pressed my shocked face into his shoulder and stroked my hair. As we went into the house and up to my bedroom, I heard a rumble in Tommy's chest. June 1973. How do I describe the following 3 years? Words can't make you understand what life was like for my mother and I. My father was murdered and was covered up by the neighborhood. And my mother, despite crippling pain it must have brought her, when the police eventually came to investigate on request from his job, a story had already been carefully collaborated by the families. They told the police that my father had been cheating on my mother and she had found out and they kicked him out. Lies about arguments heard were told, along with a few scenarios where neighbors saw my father sneaking out late at night. It was enough to get the police off our street. They saw the pain in my mother's eyes, but misinterpreted the source. Everyone was petrified of Tommy Taffy. The lies told in order to assure safety of themselves and their families. An example had been given, a lesson learned. Listen to Tommy Taffy, do what he wants, and pray that one day he go away and leave our broken community. My father wasn't the only one who had been punished. I noticed a couple of the neighbors sporting broken limbs or bruised faces. I can't even imagine the lies they were told outside the world to cover up the truth. Tommy was a haunting nightmare in our lives, and we could find no way to get rid of him. The nightly lessons resumed, just my mother and I now, sitting on the couch listening to our captor explain how to be good people. I was 10 then, and it made me sick, age slowly clarifying just how dismal our situation was. But I kept my mouth shut. I kept it shut for my mother. The memory of my father's execution burned bright into my skull every day. The years that followed my father's death marked a change in Tommy's habits. He now slept with my mother every night, leading her to bed after I was tucked in and told me one last lesson about life. I would lay awake for hours listening to her cry from her room. Sometimes it'd be for a few moments, other times hours. He didn't always stay with her though, the night though. I remember times I awake and he'd be standing in a dark corner of my room watching me sleep, his eyes like shining oceans. Other times he'd be staring at me through the crack in my door. He'd stand there for hours, just fucking watching. Sometimes I wake up to him sliding into bed with me, always placing a cool hand over my thigh. Heart thundering, fear ripping apart my insides, I always turn away from him, breaking out in cold sweats. I still had growls, my constant source of childhood-like comfort. I'd hug him to my chest, tears running down my face until either the sun came up or exhaustion shut my brain down. We endured this silently begging for it to end. July 1974. I was 11. It was the fifth year to the day since Tommy had entered our lives. I sat in the living room reading a book while my mother prepared supper for us. She was pale and gaunt, the long years wearing her to the bone. Her eyes were lifeless these days and had sunk into her sockets. Her cheekbones pronounced, skin thinly stretching over them. Growls lay on my chest as I reclined, trying to focus on my book. Tommy was sitting in a chair across from me, watching. I turned the page and jumped as Tommy spoke. "You really love that thing, don't you?" I turned to Tommy. My book?" Tommy shook his head, smiling. "No, son. That bear." I looked at growls on my chest and shrugged uncomfortably. I guess so." Tommy leaned forward, lacing his fingers together. "Put your book down, Spence." Licking my suddenly dry lips, I obeyed. I noticed my mother was watching from the kitchen, looking alarmed. "Do you know what love means?" Tommy asked. I fiddled with growls, eyes downcast. It means you care for someone very much." Tommy shook his head. No. "Good try, though." He suddenly came and sat next to me, placing a hand on my leg, caressing it. "Love means you want to fuck something so bad you'd die if you didn't." I heard my mother drop something in the kitchen, but I didn't dare to take my eyes off of Tommy. Tommy pointed toward growls. "Do you want to fuck your teddy bear?" I had heard some kids in school talking about fucking, but I didn't have a clear understanding of what it was yet, so I just shook my head, palms sweating. Tommy looked confused. "But you just said you love growls." "So you don't love him." My mother took a step towards us, but her hands balled into fists, but kept her mouth sealed shut, her lips a thin white line. I guess you don't love him then," I stammered, feeling Tommy's hand tighten on my thigh. Tommy placing his other hand on my back of my head. "Why don't you give him a little kiss? See what you think, yeah?" I felt embarrassed and humiliated, just at the thought, my cheeks burning. I tried to chuckle like I thought it was a joke, but Tommy slowly pushed my head toward my bear. "Go ahead, son. Don't be afraid," he coached. I could feel tears brimming in my eyes as he guided my mouth towards my bear and I gently kissed its nose, turning away immediately. "Do it again," Tommy whispered. "Show him how much you love him." Sniffling tears now rolling down my face, I held up growls and planted a few kisses on his worn nose. My face was flushed and my heart was racing. I felt foolish and absolutely terrified. Tommy's hand was like a vice grip on the back of my head, urging me on. "Lick him a little," Tommy whispered in my ear. Suddenly jerked my hand away and then growls across the room, openly sobbing out. "I don't love him. I hate him. I hate him." I covered my face, ashamed, hands shaking. I pulled myself into a ball and icing there, sobbing. I felt Tommy get up next to me and turn to my mother. "It sounds like he's learned his last lesson. I'd be proud of him if I were you. He's a man now." I looked up at him through tear-soaked eyes. His eyes sparkled. "It took 5 years. He suddenly leaned down and cupped his mouth over my ear. His voice was cold glass. His breath was like hot fire. "Your little ones will get 5 years as well, Spence." And with that, he looked at my mother one last time and then walked out the door. My mother rushed to me and took me in her arms, comforting me as I cried. Tommy never returned to our home. Time passed and I grew up. I grew up always expecting Tommy to show up again, come bargaining through our front door, but he never did. The years faded and some of the horror and pain began to fade as well. We were never the same though. How could we be? My mother was a shell of the woman she used to be. The mental torture she had undergone had broken something inside of her she never regained. But God, did she love me and try to heal the nightmares of those 5 years. A full year passed before my mother dared ask Megan's mom if Tommy was gone from their home as well. He was. The neighborhood was free, impossibly, unbelievably free from the monster that had terrorized us for 5 awful years. I never understood what Tommy's final words were to me, what they meant, until it was too late. When I turned 25, I married Megan. A year later, we were expecting. You've heard the rest from my poor son. God forgive me for having children.